You're listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses, discussing the topics that matter to you, including marketing, networking, generating business awareness, as well as covering various business tools and technology. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audio Shed Podcast Studio.
Welcome to episode 51 of Brumpod. I'm Richard Heathcote, and I am here with Jason and Ewan.
Hello.
Since it's sort of holiday time at the moment, we thought it's probably a good idea to cover that very subject, namely how to take time off when you're self-employed. Because it's often a very difficult thing to do. If you're self-employed, you have the guilt of not being around to deal with clients. You worry about not making any money during the time, potentially, that you're away. It's very different for employees, where you're often you still get paid to go away. If you're self-employed or a freelancer or solopreneur, you don't often get that luxury. So you do have to plan ahead a little bit more. And you do have that thing where you're potentially missing opportunities of work while you're away and can't maybe deal with inquiries if there's no 4 or 5G or Wi-Fi to hook you up with your emails and voicemails. So, first of all, Ewan, as you're, out of the three of us, the only other self-employed person, how do you deal with it?
Let's put my hands in the air and say, yes, I have been known to take a laptop on holiday with me. I was away end of July, and I didn't. And it was a tremendous sense of relief not to be thinking about who might have emailed me or not. Bit of a problem when I came back and just saw the large amount of emails in the inbox, most of which are totally irrelevant and from people I'd never subscribed to, but you know that problem as well. Yeah. But I think the answer is, firstly, I commit to holidays. So I book them up, which means that I then have to go. I'm not doing it on the fly. And since I tend to go with a group of other people that I know well, if I should cancel, I will let them down.
Yeah.
But the other thing is plan in advance. You know you're going to be away then. So you have to try and juggle your workload, get it all done, even if that is occasionally an all-nighter before you go. But then you've got your diary free and your desk free. Not least because most things will wait until you come back.
Absolutely. Yeah, I found a fairly frightening stat that says a UK-based study shows 1 in 4 freelance workers take no annual holiday at all. And of those who do, 45% take their work with them, which isn't remotely healthy. And I was one of those people as well. I'm trying to get down to Cornwall. Well, in non-pandemic times, I try and get down, you know, between 2 and 4 times a year if I can for a week. And I used to go with a mobile recording rig, laptop, mobile Wi-Fi dongle. So I was fully kitted out to be able to work down there, granted under blankets to try and soundproof things for any recordings. But, you know, I used to try and do that, and I have recorded down there, which isn't easy when you've got seagulls in the background. But lately, the last few years, I haven't. I was down in Cornwall last week and it was brilliant. Didn't even take the laptop. I took my iPad, didn't open it once. Granted, I had my phone on me because we don't ever lose our phones. But apart from checking the odd email and deleting a load of rubbish, didn't work at all down there. And it was bliss. Absolute bliss.
To be fair, Ewan doesn't have his phone on during his holidays either, but that's because there's nobody else around to show him how to turn it back on.
And also the steam-powered device that it is, it affects all the other guests as well, which is an optimum when you're on holiday.
And that's going to be a problem with climate change, because dirty technology is not going to be popular, is it?
Yeah. It's like, want to make a call? Fire up Stevenson's rocket.
Yeah, but the problem you just illustrated about being able to go away on holiday and have a holiday isn't just limited to entrepreneurs or the self-employed. Employees have the same thing.
Absolutely.
You know, That's just training your mindset. When I go away on holiday, I will typically have a handover plan, which I will then give to a colleague, followed by a hand back plan. But also, experience, bitter experience, has taught me that I'm not obliged to answer a call. So I do take my work phone on holiday. I will look at my emails, and it may be a case of I look at it and go, someone can deal with that, and I can, you know, someone will because of the handover, or I could just ping it over to somebody specifically to say, I'm on leave, can you deal with it? Or worst case scenario, I can make the choice to get involved, but it's my choice when I'm on holiday, and that's what makes the difference.
Yeah.
And then, of course, when you come back, it's typically a good idea to have a hand back meeting with the colleagues that were looking after things as well. So when you do come back, you might have 200 unread emails. And yes, 140 of those might be for cosmetic enhancements that you never needed because, you know, Ewan, you're beautiful just as you are.
Thank you, darling.
But, yeah, having that meeting with someone and saying, right, well, this happened while you were away. We did this. You come back in and you just pick things up again. And that's, like Ewan said, just effective planning. But whether you're an employee or self-employed, yeah, plan for your holiday, plan what you're going to do, and plan what else happens. We've interviewed virtual assistants and outsourcing before now. You know, if you're a solopreneur, I know there's loads of these little buzzwords. If nobody else can do your job while you're away, at least have someone that can take the details that you can pick up when you get back.
Yeah.
Plenty of options to, you know, so you don't ruin your holiday by working through it.
100%. Absolutely. And as we all know, taking holidays, time off, or just taking a break, whether it's going abroad or in the UK, obviously going abroad is, you know, has its challenges at the moment, but, you know, it is happening. It's absolutely vital for mental health. You know, we're not machines, we're humans, and we can't work 24/7. 365 days a year. It's just not possible. We need a work-life balance. And I think too many people, even in this technological age where things can be done with a couple of button clicks to let somebody else deal with things, too many people still forget about the life part in that.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the other thing that people forget is that the standard of your work suffers as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, at the very least, I think you get diminishing marginal returns. In other words, the more you work, the less you get out of each additional bit of work. So I don't think, you know, writers don't actually, you know, write 24/7. You know, they have breaks where they recharge, do other things, and that's just part of their normal working day.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is that Microsoft 365 should rebrand as Microsoft 238 just to take into account all the working hours of a given year and just take out holidays and weekends.
Does that mean they charge less for it?
No.
May not work like that.
No, it's Microsoft, of course they would.
I wonder how many people are going to go online now and go, 238 hours in a working... I've no idea, I just made that up.
Insert some gentle music for the time people have just got their calculators out, just checking the maths now.
Yeah, I didn't research that, I just made that up. If it happens to be right, then I'm the most powerful Jedi ever. But, you know, it was just a guess.
You know, I saw a YouTube video a little while ago of, I don't know whether he was a school teacher or a university lecturer, but he was basically talking in a lecture hall. And he was sort of giving a practical example of how to, in this instance, it was all about revising and studying for exams. But I think it's applicable for work life as well. He was saying that, you know, too many people, when they're actively revising, they'll revise for, you know, X hours a day. But he said, don't do that because you're going to start off well. And then as the day progresses, like Ewan said, you're just going to start becoming less and less productive. Less and less of that information is going to get into your brain and stick there. He said, it's better to just break it down, work for 30 minutes, take a 5-minute break, do something totally different, work for another 30 minutes, another 5 minute break, and continue on that. Have, slightly longer breaks in between bigger chunks. But he said, if you deal with it in smaller chunks, then do something else, you're basically riding the crest of higher productivity rather than starting at the top and just going on a 45 degree decline. And it's much better for revising and to take much more in. And the same applies to work as well. If you're doing things in shorter bursts, like being a writer, do it for a little bit, come away. Do a little bit more, come away. You know, it makes so much more sense. And it proves that taking breaks away from what you're actively doing is going to be far better in the long term. And as we found before, on this link we'll put in the episode notes as well, getting away on holiday lowers your blood pressure, improves your sleep, refreshes the mind, and reduces stress. And it may even give time to reflect on your career and time to dream up a new avenue of work you may not have seen before. And I've
one of the classic things we were told was it was called letting an idea percolate.
Yeah.
And you can have that when you're on holiday. You come back with fresh ideas. I guarantee you, if you're writing, whether it's, your magnum opus or just, a report or a presentation, the work you leave on a Friday night is not the work you would submit on a Monday morning. You always come back to it and go, going to edit that out, change that, change that. If you ever have training or, an idea session with a team, then always do it on a Friday evening and then leave it and revisit it Monday, because you'll come back with a clear set of eyes and a fresh mind.
Yep. I do that all the time. If I'm designing something in Canva, I'll create something on X day. I'll never submit it or get it printed or whatever on that same day. I always let it go, come back to it the next day, because 9.5 times out of 10, I'll see something glaring at me and think, nope, that needs to change.
Yeah, it always changes. I wanted to ask Ewan, though, you mentioned you always make a point of going on holiday with friends. I guess that means so you can commit and not back out. Was that a happy accident, or was that a conscious decision you made from the beginning?
It's kind of a happy accident, because basically it's a group of people who met on a holiday in 1999. There we are. And we've been meeting up to go walking ever since.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's something of a happy accident that that's the way it works and that's the way I commit. Because before getting together with a group, then I'd be thinking, whoa, could do with a holiday next month or, in 6 weeks time or whatever, which, is not that kind of long-term commitment of, minimum of 6 months in advance.
Or you'd be happy to push your schedule back because some work has come up and it would be convenient.
Too easy.
Yeah. I mean, something that's unique to the last couple of years, and as an employee, I'm seeing it, is that I've used very little of my annual leave this year because I've been keeping my powder dry for the opportunity, because, with my wife being Czech, for the opportunity for us to get out to the Czech Republic, which of course hasn't happened. I mean, she flew out this week with just her and my daughter because it was the first opportunity. So, the holiday I've saved up now, I'm still working and I don't know when I'll get to use it. And we could have that dilemma with our business where everyone's saving up their holiday. Everybody wants to take their holiday at the end of the year, just as business is picking up. And then you can't have it because it will affect the business, and you can't carry it forward because, that will affect the business. And it's use it or lose it.
And I think given the pandemic is still obviously a thing, although flights are happening and countries are opening up and countries that were on the red and amber list are now green and that kind of thing. So holidays abroad are happening, no doubt about it. I'm still of the mind where I wouldn't personally want to be on a plane, especially on like a long haul flight to America or somewhere like that. I think a lot of the times people do deride holidays in the UK they're just seen as a bit of cop-out. But some of the best holidays I've had have been down in Cornwall. And when the sun is shining in the summer, it's as good as being in the Mediterranean. It really is.
Now, I was with you up until that point, because
you're
British summertime
the right time.
Is the best weekend of the year, without doubt. And yet, it's very easy to talk stuff down. You complain about the British holiday as, you know, so what was the best part of it, the food or the weather? But then again, foreign holidays, you know, do you really want to, you know, in the old days, it was bad enough that you'd spend, you know, 3-4 hours in a steel tube with wings on just breathing recycled farts. But now it's recycled farts and COVID.
Yeah.
You know, it's they've all got these inherent risks. But I mean, holiday is what you make of it. It's about taking the time away, and it's about the time you spend, who you spend your holiday with. That's what makes it. It's just, how do we do holidays at the moment? I mean, you advise businesses, and I keep asking you and loads of questions. It's because I don't like you, Richard. But
understandable, yep.
No, but you advise businesses, and you know, the dilemma I had earlier about you know, taking time off as an employee and coordinating with other staff and not holding onto my holiday to the point where it expires. How do you advise businesses to plan for having staff off when we're already halfway through the year and hardly anybody's used up any of their annual leave?
I think that to an extent you have to require people to take leave, both from a health and safety point of view and to prevent that backlog.
Well, yeah. Business continuity, I suppose.
Yeah. And I think one of the scary things at the moment, if you have staff, is great. You know, they fly off to some exotic destination or Spain, and do they come back? You know, if the listing of the country changes to red, are they going to be stuck in quarantine? And if they're key people, how are you going to cope with that?
And so you meant when do they come back, not do they come back? Because that sounded like, you know, somebody goes off on a foreign holiday and decides, I like it here, I'm staying.
Well,
plus, of course, when they do come back, are they going to get pinged on the COVID app? Are they going to have to then isolate for another week? So it does come with its challenges.
They've changed the algorithm on that thing now, so fewer people get pinged. It's a bit like your Sizewell B has switched off a few of the Geiger counters because they were getting a bit clicky recently. But, you know, these things do happen.
Well, absolutely.
But I think the thing to remember in all this is that even if you're a solopreneur, then business can still continue. You can still do social marketing. You can schedule tweets. You can schedule posts on your company page on LinkedIn and on various other platforms. So, you know, you're not going to go totally silent. And as you say, you can get a VA to help answer calls, explain that you're away, which most people are going to accept, because they're either planning to go away or have just been away themselves. So, you know, things don't totally die off just because you're away from your desk for a week or a fortnight.
Well, your key word there was planning. Whether you work for someone else, work for yourself, whether you've got someone to share the load with, or whether you have to, you know, outsource it, it's all about planning. If you really want peace of mind when you go away on a holiday, plan the time away.
Absolutely. Well, we've got some key bits of how to do it, which I think would be helpful for many people. Cribbed from the link we found, we'll put in the episode notes, and we've added to it ourselves as well. Number one is make time. Freelancers find it very easy to say yes to everything for fear of losing out, but make time to say no. As Ewan did, block out the time in your diary well ahead of time so you know what's coming up and you know what to plan in the lead up. And yep, plan is the next one for long-term clients. Schedule their work before and after your break. It's easily done if you plan ahead. Move meetings, speak to whoever you need to speak to before. You can schedule work around that block time, but have that time in your diary as a concrete set in stone target that you are not working for. And as I said, you can schedule all your various posts and things so you don't have to do it live in person at the time. Income is the next one. Freelancers may not have a set regular monthly income. So again, planning ahead will mitigate this. You can start putting money aside well ahead of time so you've got enough to get through the period you're away. You can always take on extra work before and after to make up any losses. And where you can sub it out to others for additional help. And you can, next one, be visible, but not always available. You can use the autoresponders. They're obviously useful for letting people know you're not going to pick up messages right away. Everyone should respect that, as everyone needs to take time away. Only highly, highly unreasonable people will have a problem with that. You can let people know that you've got limited access to email, or you're only going to be checking your phone periodically. You know, when I'm in Cornwall, I'll tell a few of my key clients that, you know, obviously I'm around if you need to speak to me urgently or drop me an email, but I won't be looking at it all the time. And depending where I am in Cornwall at any given time, I may not have the signal to even pick them up at all. But if they know, they know, and they're happy with that. Outsourcing, yeah, there are VAs, as we had on the podcast a few weeks ago. You can offload a few tasks to trusted colleagues or friends. Whoever it is that you help get in to help you, they can eliminate the stress about being away from your business. And working holidays, you know, if you do feel the need to keep tabs on everything while you're away, it's about having the mindset of only checking your phone when you absolutely have to. You can check it in the morning or in the evening or late afternoon. Limit it to a small chunk per day so you can relax in the meantime. So if you do need to schedule half an hour a day just to check over things, you know, it's better than not going away at all. And the last thing, don't feel guilty. You know, a lot of people will feel guilty about taking time off, but it's absolutely vital we do it. So once you've made the plan, you've got to rest easy in knowledge that the world won't end while you're away. Try and ensure you can actually switch off and enjoy that time to reflect, relax, and recharge, because everyone deserves a rest.
So I do like the fact you said the world won't end while you're away. Have you seen the news recently, just over the past, like, 18 months?
I didn't see the news because I didn't have signal. That's my excuse.
You know, I mean, we've had everything from North Korea claiming they're going to start World War III to a pandemic. So, yeah, if I go away, I'm kind of half expecting the world to end. I'm just going to, you know, if it does, and it happens while I'm on holiday, I'm going to enjoy it.
You can't blame that on me being in Cornwall for a week. I didn't start it.
I mean, the other thing to look at is if you are an employee, or if you have you own a business where you have a team, or you're just part of a team, then another thing with holidays at the moment is look at the rest of the year. Look at how much holiday everyone has. If you do see an overload, look at the times people could take holiday off when it doesn't impact on the business, and encourage them to look at that, incentivize it, but ultimately make them aware that, you know, you can't have everybody off in December. When it's the end of your year, you probably still have targets to meet, deadlines to get to, and all the other stuff. And plan ahead.
And if your name is Kris Kringle or Santa Claus, you definitely can't take December off. I mean, that's your busiest time.
So why you never see elves at the seaside in December, isn't it?
Exactly. Absolutely undisputed fact.
Yeah, but you imagine that a business has a sales target, and it's an annual sales target. You can end up with that dilemma that a lot of salespeople have, where you haven't taken holiday while you're chasing a target. You know, at the end of the year, if you take the time off, you won't hit target. That will affect revenue, bonus, earning potential, or the rest of it. Yeah. if you, so you either lose your holiday to continue selling and achieve a revenue target, or you forgo your bonus and take the holiday. But either way, if you don't plan, you lose. It's all about the planning.
100%. Well, I think that pretty much wraps up episode 51. So whether you have or have not yet booked a holiday, whether it's abroad or in the UK, please do make sure you book something. At the very least, just take some time away from your business, even if you're just having a gardening week. Whatever you do, enjoy it. So thank you for listening, and we shall catch you next time.
You've been listening to Brumpod, the podcast for small businesses by small businesses. Brought to you by Brummies Networking, the home of free, stripped-back business networking. Produced by Audioshed Podcast Studio. Follow us on Twitter, at Brumpod. You can follow and subscribe to future episodes using Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and several other podcast platforms. Just search for Brumpod. And if you've enjoyed what you've heard, then please do consider leaving us a review. Music by Bureaucratic. We'll see you on the next episode.